This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to talk some Tiger baseball at the beginning of the program. We've got our guest on the line, Tony Paul. We're going to chat with Tony. Tony writes for the Detroit News. So let's bring our guest, Tony Paul. Tony, how you doing?
Good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, great. It's a pleasure to have you with us today and talk about the Tigers. Read your article this morning, and boy, that really summed it up. I mean, Jim Leland, he seems like he doesn't know what's wrong either. I mean, it's a little bit of pitching, a little bit of hitting, maybe a little bit of defense. It's just a lot of things, isn't it? Or can you say there's one thing you can put it on with the Tigers, or is it just a myriad of things?
Yeah, I don't think it's one thing with this team. Jim Leland doesn't believe in momentum. I'm kind of skeptical of momentum myself. But I think that, there are teams that get on a roll, they get clicking on all cylinders, and this team hasn't really got there yet. And for whatever reason, I mean, they've struggled in a variety of departments. You know, they hit one day, they don't hit well the next day. They pit, their relief has been up and down all year. Their defense is average at best, probably a little bit below average. If there's a positive about this team, it's the starting pitching. And you just cringe to think about where the Tigers would be without the starting pitching that they've received in the last month or so from the likes of Justin Verlander and at times Max Scherzer, and the rookie Drew Smyly has been good, and of course Pfister. You just really wonder where they would be if their starting pitching wasn't very good, because that's really kept them in a lot of ball games and given them a chance to win a couple low-scoring games and to keep them from falling too far behind in the American League Central. So they're lucky that their starting pitching has been good, and hopefully that will continue to be the case and allow the bats to perk up a little bit as the weather heats up here in Detroit and as the hitters start hitting, because I do believe that this team is a team that can hit really well in warm weather. And for whatever reason, but if you look at last year, this team started slow last year too, not just as a team, but also offensively. And I started looking a little bit into it. Their offense is made up of almost exclusively guys from the South or Latin America or the West Coast. So these guys are used to warmer weather, and I almost have to believe that maybe this team is a team that's going to hit when the weather heats up, and now that it is, we'll see if they can do that. You've seen them score a few more runs as of late, so I think that could be the case.
Yes, also, do you think that Leland might, I know he's starting, it seems like he's starting to do it lately, maybe go with the starters a little bit longer. When he pulled that Verlander at the first of the year, a lot of people were upset with that when he had, I think he just had a one-run lead in the eighth inning. Do you see him maybe giving starters a little more leeway?
Yeah, I do. I think that happens as the season goes on with most teams. I think that you don't want to push your starters too much at the beginning of the season, because arms are very, very precious commodities, and you don't want to wear them out early in the year. So that's why he'll pull Verlander early in the season. That's why he went with Doug Pfister, only 73 pitches, when Doug Pfister came off the disabled list and made his first start. It's why he's been very careful with Drew Smyly, who's a rookie who's never pitched in the major leagues before this year. So, yeah, you see him being careful with those guys early in the season. But as the season progresses and lately, you'll see him probably extend these guys a little bit longer for a couple reasons. One, because he feels more comfortable with them. The pitchers are feeling good now that the season is a month and a half old. And also because their middle relief has struggled so much. And because the middle relief has really not been very good, the one way to mask that and to hide that is to let your starting pitchers go longer and get to the back end of the bullpen, which, while it has struggled at times, is still probably more talent in the back end of the bullpen than in the middle relief. So I think, yeah, you're going to see him go a little bit longer with these guys for a while now.
Boy, and that's the thing. The fans, how impatient the fans are, and I've heard even down this way, a lot of fans are calling for Jim Leland's head. I don't think he's in any trouble, but could that be a concern in the near future or in the immediate future if the Tigers, they were predicted to win this division, and of course they're treading water right now, win one, lose one mostly, and that could be a big problem for Leland. Do you think he could be in any trouble or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, in this business, baseball managers, they say that the baseball managers and really coaches of all major sports are hired to be fired. There's very few managers or coaches at this level in professional sports that aren't in danger of losing their job. Jim Leland actually is an interesting case. He's managed 21 years in the major leagues now and has never been fired, which is pretty remarkable when you consider it because, I mean, so many managers have been fired over the years. But I don't think that he's in any immediate trouble. I think Dave Dombrowski is very comfortable with the Tigers general manager. He's very comfortable with Jim Leland. They've been together for a long time, dating back to their days with the Florida Marlins. And Mike Yelich likes Jim Leland. So I don't think that he's in any immediate danger there. You know, you saw it last year. You know, he's been working on one-year contracts for a couple of years now because he likes it that way, and so does the ownership. You know, but you saw Mike Yelich and Dave Dombrowski give the contract extension to Jim Leland in the middle of last season when they weren't really playing all that well, and a lot of fans were griping about that because, you know, they wanted to see results, and they didn't understand why Leland was given another year on his deal when the Tigers weren't exactly playing all that great. Of course, after he got the one-year deal, the Tigers really took off and ran away with the division, but that, you know, that had to do with a couple of late-season additions to the team as well with Doug Fister and Delman Young. But this year, I would be very surprised if there's a move made middle of the season, unless they totally tank, which I just don't see that being possible in the weak division that they're in, the American League Central. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Now, if the Tigers really fall flat this year and finish maybe, you know, around 500 or under 500 and don't come close to a playoff appearance, then I would imagine that the offseason would definitely be some consideration to making a switch in that department. Just because this team was put together with a lot of Mike Yelich's money, well over $100 million, you know, this team was built to win a World Series. And if they fall way short of that by not even making the playoffs and really not even having a good record, I would think that it would be considered. But I don't think it's going to be a move they make in season.
Okay, do you see Dave Dombrowski making a trade? I mean, we know how the second base position is basically in total flux right now. Any chance he'll make a trade for a second baseman or any other positions?
Yeah, there's always a chance of Dave Dombrowski. He's made several moves at the trade deadline or before the trade deadline during his time as the Tigers general manager. You know, there are two positions that they definitely would consider upgrading right now, and of course second base would be one, and the middle relief bullpen would be another. I think if they're going to go one direction, it's going to be second base for a couple reasons. One, it's really hard to get good bullpen help at the trade deadline because every team's looking for relievers, and this year it's going to be even more teams looking for, you know, to upgrade at the deadline because you remember there's going to be two more playoff teams this year with the addition of a wild card for each league, which means there are going to be more teams at the trade deadline who feel like they have a chance to make the playoffs. Therefore, there are going to be more buyers and there's not going to be as much talent to go around. So it's going to be harder to upgrade that position because everybody needs middle relief and not everybody needs a second baseman. The Tigers clearly do, especially if Ryan Rayburn continues to struggle as he has. He just hasn't been very good. So I think that if they go one direction, it'll be for a second baseman. And there are options out there. You know, they lost one option this week when Orlando Hudson was cut by the Padres and then he agreed to a deal with the White Sox. I'm sure the Tigers explored maybe bringing him in, but maybe didn't think he was the best fit. But there are other options out there. One that I've been talking about and I wrote today in my column at DetroitNews.com is the second baseman for the Kansas City Royals, and that's Chris Getz. He's not a flashy name, but he does a lot of things well. He puts the ball in play. He gives you good at-bats. He has some speed, which the Tigers lack, and he plays a good, solid second base. Plus, you know, a little extra bonus, I guess, he's from Metro Detroit. He went to Grosse Pointe South. And the Royals might be willing to move him because they have a couple of young guys that are coming up, one they just recently promoted again, that are looked at as more of the second baseman of the future, whereas Chris Getz is kind of looked at as, you know, a middle-tier player. So the Tigers might be willing to look in that direction, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are discussions down the road on Chris Getz because, you know, the Royals general manager Dayton Moore and Dave Dombrowski have a history of making these kind of moves. Since Dayton Moore took over in Kansas City in 2006. You know, the Tigers acquired Wilson Bedement from the Royals last year when Brandon Inge was struggling so bad at third base. You know, there's been other moves. There's been three or four moves between the two general managers to kind of, you know, help one another out, and Chris Getz might fall into that category. So I would be surprised if they didn't look in that direction and see if maybe they could get a move done. He'd be the guy that I'd watch for right now.
Okay. Now, what about the Tigers, you know, The other positions seem solid, seem pretty safe. They don't have much speed on this team, of course. You know, that leads to have a tendency to lead into more double plays. And of course, the hitting has been so sporadic. How do you see the bench performing? Do they need more help off the bench? You just getting a second baseman will help some. But what about the overall bench play?
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot on the bench, especially right now with Austin Jackson not feeling great with the injury to his side muscle, and he hasn't been on the DL, so they're pretty much without him, and so their bench has really been depleted for the last week or so, and they don't have a whole lot off the bench. You know, when you look at it, they have, you know, Ramon Santiago, who hasn't hit very well. They have Gerald Laird, the backup catcher, but you can't really risk pinch hitting Gerald Laird or anything like that, because if you pinch hit Gerald Laird, then he comes out of the game. And then Alex Avila gets hurt, on catcher later in the game, then you don't have a replacement there. So their bench is entirely depleted right now. They don't have a lot of options there. So they could stand to upgrade that, definitely, whether it's bringing up somebody from the minor leagues. They have a couple of guys in the minors who are hitting well, in the likes of Brad Eldred and Quentin Berry. And Quentin Berry has some speed, too. So, you know, they might look to maybe upgrade that from the minor leagues. I don't know that they'll really go after that. Anything like that. I think that would be something they could do in-house, but that's definitely a problem. They don't have a lot of options there. They definitely don't have any speed from the bench, so they could stand to upgrade that, no question.
Well, they got a big, three-game series starting today with Cleveland, and so how do you see that series going on? Because, Cleveland's in first place, and, of course, Cleveland would like to expand their league. The Tigers would like to end Cleveland's little brief lead right now. But how do you see that series, and how do you view the Indians?
Well, the Indians are a decent team, and, you know, they started really hot last year out of the gate. They put the Tigers in a big hole early last season, and then kind of faded down the stretch, and there are reasons for that, and I still think they have some of those reasons. I don't think the starting pitching is all that great. Derek Lowe, who's from Dearborn, he was the veteran that they traded for this year for the rotation. He's been great pitching as good as he has in years. I'm not sure he's going to keep that up. And they have holes the rest, a lot of their rotation. Ubaldo Jimenez, who they acquired from the Rockies last year in the big trade, hasn't been that great. He's been up and down. And I don't really think they have a whole lot of offense. They have some decent speed. They have some nice players. But they just don't have a whole lot of offense. Their bullpen's very good. And so they can, when they do get a lead, they tend to be able to nail that down. And that's why they've played so well early this season. They've also had a pretty easy schedule. Compared to the Tigers early in the season, they haven't played a whole lot of big name teams yet. I think the Tigers have played four playoff teams from last year. I think the Indians have only played two. So they've taken advantage of the easier schedule, whereas the Tigers have not taken advantage of the schedule that they've had the last couple weeks, which has been easier. So I think that I do believe the Tigers are the better team. They don't have as many holes. They have more potential. Their ceiling is definitely higher. But this should be an interesting series between these teams. You know, the Indians have lost 10 straight to the Tigers last year. The Tigers really dominated the Indians and White Sox down the stretch last year, and that's how they put so much distance between themselves and the rest of the division. So the Indians definitely are motivated to come out and end that skid. But I'd be surprised if the Tigers don't at least perk up a little bit now that, you know, we're here into late May and they see that they have a deficit against the Indians. They get a chance to make that up head-to-head. I think it's going to be a good series, and I'd be surprised that Tigers don't take two of them.
Okay. Tony Paul with the Detroit News. And, Tony, people can also read you on Twitter. Twitter.com/TonyPaul1984?
That's it.
Okay. Well, give Tony Paul a quick read or read on Twitter, or you can read him in the Detroit News. Either way, and Tony, hey, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking with you. We'll definitely call you again and have you on again sometime.
Sounds great. Look forward to it.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Yep.
Bye-bye. And that's Tony Paul with the Detroit News right here on AM 870 WKAR. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
President Obama described this week's nuclear talks with Iran as a last chance for diplomacy and warns that all options remain on the table. Some say sanctions are working. Give them more time. Others argue enough carrots, it's time for sticks. I'm Neil Conan, talking with Iran. What's the goal? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. Good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. Today will be mostly sunny. Our high will be in the low 70s. Overnight, mostly clear skies with a low of 49. It'll be sunny tomorrow with a high of 78, sunny with a high of 85 on Thursday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to check in and chat with our good friend Tom Markowski from the Detroit News. Tom, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, actually. I'm sitting in the sunshine in Benton Harbor, Michigan. I'm covering the PGA Senior Championship here, and the weather is cooperating.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Tom, I was just wondering, because I think we've talked about it once before, but why hasn't the state of Michigan adopted some other tournaments? I mean, we have our state championship tournament, but any community could drop, like we have our Diamond Classic here. This is the 51st year of the high schools coming. We have 10 high schools get together here in Michigan and play for the Diamond Classic Championship. And, of course, it's just the better teams in each class, and how many ever teams get in. But it's a pretty good it's worked out well here. Any reason why you would think that no other place has gotten a similar tournament, something like that, in another part of the state?
Well, what's happened a little bit, and I'm not sure if the Grand Rapids does anything, but in Macomb County, they'll run a tournament. You know, a 3-4 day tournament. In fact, the guy's name's Maloney. He's the brother of Rich Maloney over at Michigan, and he coaches at Warren Mott. And they have a tournament they hold in St. Clair Shores, but it's in April. And let me tell you something: sometimes the weather is good, and sometimes it ain't so good.
That's true.
And those things are iffy. I mean, they get good teams to play in there. In fact, Sterling Heights Stevenson, who made the semis last year, they usually goes there. But to answer your question, I think a lot of times they try to organize these things. They're for our area anyways, they're not that well attended, and I think one of the reasons is it's in April. Nobody wants to go watch baseball when it's 49 degrees outside, I don't think, unless your son's playing. But I think what you got going there in the Lansing area is a tradition. People expect it every year, and they look forward to it. You know, it's almost, in addition to the state tournament where you can win your district trophies, your regional trophies, here's something that you can be proud of in a local setting. So, hey, count your blessings. The Lansing area is fortunate to have something that the people there care about.
Yes, they do, and they care about it. Being around 51 years, and it comes in. Sometimes it's a little bit of a conflict with the state tournament. I thought maybe that'd be a reason why a lot of schools didn't want to touch it, because here it starts at the end of May, in to the first part of June. Sometimes some of the managers of some of the teams have to manipulate that pitching count, because as you know, the pitchers can only go 30 innings in a week, and so they have to manipulate that around the pitching around the tournament. So, do you think that could be the state tournament could be a problem? Why other communities don't get behind something like that?
Oh, I would think that's at the top of the list, Earl, because I'm sure. Anybody who has a team in that Lansing tournament, and let's say they've got a good chance to advance in the state tournament, you have to ask yourself what's more important. Let's say you got the district's on a Saturday, what is it, June 2nd, I believe they are this year, the semis and finals. So, if that tournament, let's say the championship game, for example, and Lansing played the 1st or the 31st or whatever, or maybe the following week sometime, you have to ask yourself what's important at that time for you. Most of the time, I'm sure the coaches would say, they're going to throw their 1-2 in the district semifinal, and they maybe throw their 3 in a big game at the Lansing tournament. So, yeah, I think that's something those coaches think about who are invited to that tournament, and then perhaps there's some deterrent as far as anybody starting in any other area at that time. See, what you can do, in this, the St. Clair Shores, Macomb County area, you're not affecting anything. It's in April, late April, and you might have to move, some of your 1s and 3s or 4 pitcher, your number 4 pitcher in the rotation around, and, you want to win your league championship, which had already started at that time. So, you got to do certain things, but for what it's worth, the more baseball, the better. If you got a really deep team, carrying 17, 18 players, for example, and you got, six, seven pitchers that you want to give work to, hey, that's where they come in a tournament like that. And, hey, coaches like it because they get good game experience.
Okay. Got a caller for you. Let's go out to Saginaw. We've got Michael on the line. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? I'm Tom. I got a good question. Do you see a day where our Major League Baseball is going to, and the NCAA going to start funding the baseball programs and the U.S. Olympic Committee field sponsoring sports like track and field and swimming and wrestling? Do you see a lot of corporate entities? I'm not just saying the U.S., even though they got sponsors and everything. What's your opinion about it?
Well, anything like that, you got to get back serious backing. Somebody's going to have to organize something and see that it's worthwhile. I mean, I believe what your question referred to is, some of the, the USA track, for example. If anybody covers the track meets here, the first thing they do after they, have winners at, wherever the Division I final, Division II are held, they invite them to the Midwest Meet of Champions, which is the following week. So that in itself is well organized. So they get the best kids from a particular state, send them to a regional assignment, and see who does well in competition there, and then you go on. I think it would be awfully difficult if you tried to do that with baseball and or softball, although, both are active, USA Softball, USA Baseball, but to do that regionally, these kids already signed up for their federation teams, and anybody that covers baseball in a state tournament, they ask these kids, where are you going? They win a state championship on a Saturday, they're playing with their Fed team on that Monday with one day off, so it might be tough, but then again, if somebody organizes it well and entices the top players to compete, then, why wouldn't they?
Because I look on the website, and I noticed that during the summer months that Major League Baseball have an RBI program.
Right, there's one in the Detroit area, right? There's one in the Detroit area I'm familiar with, yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking about, could like a sport like Major League Baseball, because it's like baseball is so underfunded. I mean, there's kids don't have gloves and they don't have bats. We always go after the kids, say they don't have the will to do it or the will to play. But I see, like, why in AAU basketball you got so many people willing to take their time on AAU basketball, because basketball is on TV and the culture and during the winter months that people like basketball and those hockey and wrestling and things. I just want to see, why can't a state like Michigan, it's not like it's a sparsely populated state. I mean, why can we be known for something other than just basketball and hockey and mostly college sports and professional sports? I'll take it off there and let you get other callers. Thanks, Earl.
Thanks, Tom. I mean,
I think that's a good point, but at the same time, if you look at basketball and AAU basketball in the state, I mean, companies like Adidas and Nike make a lot of money off of organizing these teams, and that's where they're able to fund these teams to be sent to Florida and to Vegas or California, wherever they're participating in this tournament. So, you need funding. I mean, right there it would tell you, I mean, somebody has to fund that. I mean, you think about the cost of bats, the cost of mitts in case, or baseball. Who's gonna pay for the umpires at these games? So you have to have funding, whether it comes from, Nike or in basketball or another organization in baseball. Somebody's gonna have to fund this. And I understand. And also, Michigan's kind of a strange bird in the sense that, you can play basketball 12 months out of the year. You cannot play baseball and softball 12 months out of the year. So that's a deterrent. A lot of kids, in other states like California, Florida, and Texas and whatnot, they're playing baseball in January and February. So it's a little different in Michigan. It's a short season for baseball. So, perhaps that's one of the reasons they haven't, organized. And I'm going to stop talking about Michigan. You can talk about Wisconsin and Illinois and Indiana and Ohio and Pennsylvania. It's cold. So, it's a good question. I know it sounds like our caller was very fervent baseball fan. But this is fine. I mean, that's good. I've written stories about how baseball is dying in this city. Yeah. It's not an inner city sport anymore. And the baseball used to be played on the sandlot, and you say the term sandlot to a young person right now, they might not know what you're talking about.
Right. They may not. Hey, Tom, what about football? Do you see any signs of a decline in football? Because we've read so much about all the concussions and, of course, with the deaths of Junior Seau and others. Do you see football? Some parents maybe scaling back or not letting their sons play football?
Are you going to tell me a community like, let's say, Hartford or Climax or even go up in a thumb to USA, go to Traverse City? Those kids, Earl, those are football strong in that community, those communities. No, to answer your question quickly. No, I think what you're going to have to do, Earl, and there's also good coming from bad, is that you have to be more aware of these possible injuries, these possible concussions, these head injuries that, you know, oh, yeah, I got my bell rung. I know the MHSA is doing their best to try to make people aware, coaches aware, parents aware of the fact that maybe that little dizziness the player experienced in that day is more than just a 20-minute sit-down. Maybe it's a whole week that child must sit out. So I think the awareness that is taking place, and it's unfortunate, you know, what happened to Junior Seau, and for what it's worth, Junior Seau is one of many that is that the post-traumatic symptoms that they've had from concussions. And, you know, I'm not sure anybody can put their finger on that one. You know, he probably suffered from depression, I would imagine. But at the same time, you know, like I said, good can come from bad. You know, people just open their eyes more to that, coaches and assistant coaches, because a lot of times I was talking to head coaches. They don't have time, and I don't mean to let them off the hook, but, you know, they have 20 seconds to call the play if they're the offensive coordinator, you know, the head coach. They have to watch the other kids that are actually on the field participating. They don't know what's happening on the bench behind them. They have to rely on, you know, their medical trainers. They have to rely on their assistant coaches and perhaps even just volunteers. You know, that's what helps make high school sports is you get some volunteers on the sideline. Now, granted, they have to be the right volunteers. They just can't be anybody out of the stands. But my point is you have to look at the kids' eyes and say, you know, count backwards from 10. Can you, you know, how you feel? Is it the right side of your head? Are you feeling headaches? You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, that you can do to try to prevent these types of, you know, it's an injury, but it's actually, you know, sometimes a silent injury where you can't really see the effects and maybe till a week or two later. So, no, Earl, I think football, I think, you know, I've had discussions with people about the talent in this state in basketball, and we can go back to the days of, you know, when Chris Webber and even before that Glenn Rice and whatnot, and how great it was. Then you can go back further than that into the 60s and whatnot. But, for, you know, the basketball in the state, it won't, I don't think, ever be like it used to be for a number of reasons. The population in the state's going down. But I really believe that football in this state is as good as ever, because what really keeps football going is those small communities and even those larger cities. Take a, you know, a town like East Grand Rapids, for example. They're so successful in football. But that community comes out and supports that team. DeWitt, for example, in your area, big-time supporters in that system. Okemos, you can go down the list. And that will not die. Football means too much. And I'll tell you, football is just a strange animal. It's so different from any other sport that's played in high schools. And people are fervent. They love it. You know, whether you're the member of the band, whether you're the parent of a member of a band, it's a Friday Night Lights show. It's part of your community. It's part of education. It's part of growing up.
Yes, Tom, but what about the other factor that I think we've talked about this before. It's been a long time, but is there anything that we can say or do that can possibly get kids to talk about getting, when they get hurt, that they don't shut up? You know, so many kids are going back, even when I was playing, you know, they you won't talk about injury. You get hurt because you want to play. And you know, I understand that, but kids need to know that, hey, when you get hurt on a play or anything, you need to let a trainer or a doctor or someone know. But we still have that going on today where kids just don't talk about their injuries when they get hurt.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking machoism.
Yeah.
You can't be a sissy. Why can't you play? You're not that hurt. Go out there and play, you know. You got to do this for the team. You know what? Those things are in the past. You have to recognize when there's a – when somebody, you know, hurt their middle – their baby finger on their right hand and they're a tackle, You go out there, you tape those two fingers together, and you go out and play. But we're talking about something more serious than this, than a head injury. See, it comes down to education, too. It starts with the coaches. I was thinking initially you get them on that first day of practice on August 5th or whenever it starts this year. Actually, you do that throughout the whole summer.
Yeah.
Actually, you do that in the springtime when you do that in January when you have them in the weight room. You say, you know, it's very important that you get in shape, but it's also very important to let us know if you've received some type of head injury. And I think it's more so now. I don't think people were maybe aware of it or the seriousness of it, you know. And, you know, it's you take people like, you know, Dick Butkus, who, you know, barely can walk these days because of the knee injuries he suffered. And I know that doesn't have to do with head injuries, but it's all a part of the game and the injuries that you incur and suffer. And I don't know. You know, a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old's head is a lot different than somebody that's 25 years old and taking a blow to the head. And I don't care how good that helmet is. And granted, I hope, you know, more technology is developed where those helmets are more cushiony or more susceptible to taking a tough hit. You know, and for what it's worth, there's concussions in other sports. I was watching a news program on one of the major networks, and they were talking about how the seriousness of girls' soccer and the head injuries that some of these girls suffer in girls' soccer. You think about the equipment that they wear, actually what they don't wear when they play soccer. And they were talking about how girls' necks are developed differently than the boys' necks, and that they're more susceptible to getting neck injuries and also head injuries. So, you know what? You got to look at another contact sports. I mean, hockey.
Yes.
Hockey's another sport. You take a big hit into the board, and you go crashing down on the ice, and it's like, you know, you're a little woozy, and, you know, you get back up, and you take your shift 2 minutes later, and maybe you shouldn't take that shift 2 minutes later. So, in other sports, too. I know football is a high-profile sport.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to point their fingers at it, which they should. But there's other sports, too, where you can suffer those types of injuries.
Oh, that's for sure. And I guess we just have to be careful. I mean, the main thing is trying to get kids to recognize, hey, if something is wrong or, you know, if you don't feel quite right, say something about it. Don't hide it because you want to keep playing. You know, you have to be more mindful of your health, of your own health. I mean, I know you can't expect everyone to look out for you. You have to definitely do a lot for yourself.
Right. And you know how kids are, like you just mentioned earlier, that, you know, heck, I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I'm injured. I'm the starting linebacker. If I don't go out there, somebody's going to have my job.
Yep.
Well, they got to get that mindset changed where, hey, you know, we want you healthy, and if you have to sit out a game or wherever it may be, we want you out there at least as close to 100% as we can get you, not playing because you think you're going to lose your position next week or that week to an underclassman or whomever. So.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you know, you're going to be, you know, during the summer, I'll be going around here to a lot of the hoop tournaments and that coaches and other schools be putting on high school tournaments. Are you making any trips or around the state looking at some of the hoop action that's going on during the summer?
No, I really don't. I've watched some. Once in a while, I'll go to take the time to go to St. Cecilia's if I'm working on a story or something. But, you know, I talk to, you know, coaches sometimes will just call me on off the cuff and say, you know, such and such is playing really well. For what it's worth, Earl, you know, I haven't taken any vacation time, and my vacation time is usually late June and early July. And by the time I'm done with vacation, it's like July 24th or something, and guess what?
Back to work.
I start making calls for my football preview around that time. So.
Yeah.
My time's kind of spoken for. So, no, And for what it's worth, the time I have spent in gymnasiums in the month of July, I'm asking myself, why am I indoors and it's 82 degrees outside? I don't really have an answer.
Well, I'll take up the slack for you. I'll spend some time around this one.
You can be my eyes out there.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll be seeing some of the high school kids, and Tom Izzo has the Michigan State camp. He has invites a lot of teams from the Midwest to come here.
Oh yeah, that's a good team camp.
Yeah.
At Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best in the state.
So I'll be looking at some of the kids coming around. Hey, Tom, I want to thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I'll get back with you probably in the fall, and we'll talk a little football once the season gets to rolling.
All righty. Thanks, Earl.
Okay.
You have a good summer if I don't talk to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Tom Markowski talking preps with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's illegal to pay for organ donations in this country, but shortages continue to grow. And when NPR asked,
60% said they were in favor of compensation for organ donation
if payment took the form of health care credits. I'm Neil Conan, paying for organs. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
There's a warming trend in the forecast over the next few days. Today will be mostly sunny and our high will be 72 degrees. Mostly clear with an overnight low of 49 tonight. Sunny on Wednesday, the high tomorrow in the upper 70s. Sunny with a high in the mid-80s Thursday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, the Diamond Classic started yesterday, and I went to the two games, and last night, the late game, it ended very late last night. The game was between Okemos and Williamston, and Okemos won the game 21-7, and they mercied Williamston after six innings. They had to call off the dogs, basically. But they hit well, and that was one of their better games, that's for sure. And the opening game, we heard from Eaton Rapids and Hazlitt. And Hazlitt won the game 5-2. And so good win for Hazlitt. And so we have a cut. I didn't tell you about it. We definitely had a cut. It's called Small Ball from the Hazlitt manager. And if you can get that up, Small Ball should be there. And Hazlitt's manager, Rob Orr, Hazlitt's manager, Jeff Woodworth, I talked with him after the game last night. And if you got it there, it's we talked about with Jeff about the defense that the Hazlitt played last night.
Yeah, defense played great. You know, I think we had one error, if I remember right. We make plays. I mean, we pitch the ball pretty good, and we play defense, and we run around and try to slap at the baseball, just, you know, small ball kinds of things.
Yes, and it worked for them, 5-1 over Eaton Rapids. Eaton Rapids was a pretty good team, but they couldn't compete with Hazlitt last night. And then the other game, Okemos, that was the third inning was probably lasted over about 45 minutes. I mean, because Okemos scored 9 runs in the top of the third, and Williamston scored 3 runs in the bottom of the third. That made the third inning a very long inning. But if you like baseball, you just come on out, get back there today. You can see some of the games taking place tonight. You've got Bath going against Lansing Catholic, and you have also East Lansing going against Charlotte tonight. Bath starts the opening game with at 5:30 today, Bath and Lansing Catholic, and then at 7:30 the following game it'll be East Lansing and Charlotte, and that's at Cooley Law School Stadium. I got used to saying that. I should have been doing it a long time ago, but I still think of the old name. And sometimes those old names, they just stick in your head and they get stuck in there. I know it got stuck in mine for a long time, but I'm working out at Cooley Law School Stadium. That's the game, the teams that will play there tonight. So should be a good night of baseball. So come on out and see it. Fairly decent crowd for the opening night from the parents and relatives of Hazlitt and, of course, in Okemos and Williamston and Eaton Rapids. So, if you want to get out tonight and see some good baseball tonight, Lansing Catholic and Bath, two good communities, will come to support their teams. And then on the other side, as we told you about, we've had East Lansing and Charlotte. So some good baseball for you. I might even try to convince Aaron to go out there with me and check out a little baseball with me tonight.
I said I'd go out tonight. I wasn't able to go yesterday, so I look forward to going tonight. That would be good games.
It should be, yeah, that's for sure. It should be two good games. We've got, that's one thing about Mid-Michigan area. We've got very good baseball in the Mid-Michigan area for many years. So, yeah, we'll have, we don't know how they'll do when they get to the state tournament. Sometimes Grand Ledge has been one of the premier teams in the area, but they've won this tournament a lot of times, but boy, some reason they just haven't been able to get, I think they got to the finals one time a few years ago, but yeah, they don't do that well in the state tournaments from time to time. But boy, it's a monster of a team and a monster of a program that Pat O'Keefe has developed here for a long, long time in the Mid-Michigan area. So hopefully more people will come out and see some of the games tonight. There's so many good games, and they have pretty good refreshments down there at the Cooley Law School Stadium. So you might want to partake in some of the beverages and hot dogs and things like that. But it'll be a very good game be attended by a lot of Mid-Michigan area fans.
Yeah, and not to mention it's a beautiful day out today.
Yes, it is.
And it looked like it turned out to be a beautiful night last night, too. I was in the office. But, yeah, no, it should be good. They do have very good refreshments down there. I wasn't sure if they would have it out, so they have it all out even for the high school games, huh?
Well, they have. So they don't have all the ones open.
Oh, okay.
But they do have a few stands. So, yeah, you'll be able to get some of the things. And, yeah, they do have that. And hopefully, you know, if people buy more, they'll probably would stay more if the lines get even longer.
Right, yeah, exactly. Out of curiosity, though, for maybe the fans listening, what's the mercy rule in high school? I mean, 21 runs, that seems like seems a little much there.
Well, 10 after three innings and 15 after four, after
okay.
five innings.
Okay.
So it got to 15. It was in the fifth inning, and it was 15-5, and then Williamston scored a couple of runs. So, but they got it in the sixth inning. They got it up to 21 runs, and Williamston couldn't come back and get some runs to keep it. So you have to have at least that 10-run rule, and then the 15-run rule to mercy a team. So it can happen. It happens every now and then. We see it more in football and in basketball, of course, than we do in baseball. But it does happen in baseball from time to time.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. You do. And does basketball have a mercy rule for high school?
Yep, 35, I believe. It's either 30 or 35,
okay.
One of the two.
Okay. Because, yeah. I mean, I see the stories all the time. You know, these teams, you'll see a score of like 99 to 20 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and a ridiculous score. And then, you know, it's usually not in Michigan. It's usually some other states, and I'm sure it's different in each state probably.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just 21 runs. I feel bad for, you know, that team, you know, those players like that.
Yeah, I've become, you know, hey, if you got to try to stop them some kind of way. If you just don't have good enough players, well, then I guess that's the way. So be it.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
It is. So yeah, you come out there tonight, you'll see some good baseball. Most of the teams are pretty good. If you get to the Diamond Classic, that means you've had a pretty good season. They invite 10 teams to it, 10 teams out of the area, and all the teams in the Mid-Michigan area all want to get in the Diamond Classic. And from time to time, you'll see, you really have about three or four that you'd see almost every year. But then you have a lot of teams that are just vying and fighting to try to get in and year out if you want to be part of that 10-team field.
Yeah, now does this count toward the regular season? I mean, how does this work, or is it a separate little just tournament?
It still counts in the regular season because everybody's invited to the state tournament.
Right.
So you know, it still counts. It'll be on your regular season record.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate then for the teams that don't get in. I mean, are they playing less games? I mean,
a couple less games.
Okay.
Yeah. If you get invited there, so you'd have a chance to play like one, two, three, four or five games at the most extra. So if not, your season is usually shortened by two or three games.
Okay. Well, I guess if everyone had their shot to get in, you know,
yeah.
I guess it's fair from the beginning.
Yeah, it is. And so, but it's a fun tournament, and it'll be interesting to see how, for the tournament like tonight, Bath playing against Lansing Catholic Central. Bath is a real small school outside of the city limits of Lansing. So that's a team, you know, they want to come in and beat a team from the Lansing area. That would be good. And Charlotte, of course, playing East Lansing. That's a team that has a good, strong school and a good community. I've been out there several times. So, you know, they want to come in and beat the team from East Lansing. So you have some natural rivalries between these schools, from the schools on the outer areas to the ones in the cities and in the surrounding communities.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see. You don't want to see two teams that really don't know each other, don't really have any history. So, I mean, it's good that these kids, you know, that they know that there's a rivalry against each other. So they kind of, you know, either will be a little bit more excited, not to mention they're playing in Cooley Law School Stadium, which is probably on a scale of 1 to 10, and for them, it's probably like 11 for an excitement.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, playing in a minor league stadium, that's got to be special for them, just like when kids come to a Breslin Arena for the state championship finals in basketball. I always love seeing it when the kids first, a lot of the teams have never been there and never been in a Breslin Arena, and it's amazing to just look at the kids, how they look around the arena. You know, wow, I'm really here in Breslin Arena. Magic played here, and Draymond Green played here, and you know, all the great players that come through Michigan State, they know they're going to be on that court. That is very special to them when they come up here. You know, because everybody won't get a chance to play in the state tournament and to play in the state final or the semifinals. They always look to it as a once in a lifetime deal.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's they'll never forget it. That's for sure. I mean, you know, it's an opportunity for them that they have to take advantage of. I mean, you know, if you're going to be playing in these big stadiums where, you know, great names have played before you, you definitely want to take it in and appreciate every moment of it. That's for sure.
Oh, that's for sure. Now we can turn our attention to like the sport of basketball, because with the playoffs ending and other teams are going out, the Lakers are going to have to change how they do basketball. They're going to have to change their thing, and some of the other teams that are out, like the Clippers, they're a young team. They'll have to do too much, but the Lakers, they might have to have a lot of turnover.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be curious to see what the Lakers are going to do here now. You know, now that their season is done, I mean, yeah, I think we had a guest on yesterday or maybe the day before. I mean, they were talking about how either they could do a couple of things, completely revamp everything. You either get rid of Kobe or you keep Kobe and get rid of a lot of the other players, or maybe you just make, you know, small changes here and there. But I mean, they definitely got to do something. You know, Kobe's obviously not getting any younger. But, you know, we've seen in the past where players, they have a great offseason, they get in great shape, and they come back. You know, Tim Duncan, you know, he's playing like he's really young again. So you never know. But I got to believe the Lakers are going to make some kind of big changes as far as players are concerned. Now, I don't think they're going to make any huge changes for personnel related, but I think they'll make a good amount of changes for the players.
Yes, because that's a team that's getting a little bit on long in the tooth, so they've got to get a little bit younger. Just like San Antonio's got younger, they've got the three old guys with Ginobili and as you mentioned, Tim Duncan Ginobili and the other players. So the point guard. So they've got three in Parker. So they've got to get some of the other guys younger. The other, and surprisingly, they average about 27 years outside of those three. So they've gotten younger and able to still maintain, you know, be considered one of the top teams in the league. We don't know how long Tim Duncan is going to play. He's got to be near the end. Maybe another year or two, or maybe. Maybe three at the most, but he's taking it, as he says, day by day.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example of a team. You have a great mix of veterans and then young guys. I mean, we've seen it. The Wings have done it. That's been their staple, has kind of had that mix of great veterans but also a bunch of young guys. And, you know, the young guys learn from the veterans. So I think San Antonio, and that's why they're playing so well and doing so well, is they just have that great mix. They all mesh well together. Young guys are learning from the veterans. The veterans, you know, are excited to have these young guys on the team, which makes them even better. So it's an all-around, everyone benefits from it. And then obviously, you know, they have a great coach too, so that helps. So, I mean, they're a great team, and I honestly expect them that I could see them possibly winning the championship. So, you know, with the mix they have, they have a lot going for them. So I think a lot of teams could model from them as well.
Yeah, yes, they could. They could do that. That's for sure. Because the teams, sooner or later, you got to try to get younger. I mean, youth, the young is unbeaten. So you've got to do that eventually. Make your team younger, or get younger, because that's the nature of the beast, the nature of sports. And yes, you have to somehow get your team younger over the years, and you're going to have to bite the bullet sooner or later and make your team younger. And that's what's going to happen here. We're going to have to see it's a lot of the teams, especially in the sport of basketball or in football, we see teams doing that changeover. Sooner or later, you're going to have to cut the cord and try to make the team better.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think part of the problem, too, is people look at it as, you know, as sports fans, you know, as fans want results every yes. year, you know, all the time. But when you're going to have a couple of years, you're going to have to go through some tough times. I mean, obviously, we know about the Detroit Lions, but, you know, there's going to be several years of revamping the team and getting them back to where they are going to be. So the fans get angry, but the reality is, I mean, that's the nature of any sport.
Yes.
I mean, that could be that kind of with the way you do those things, that goes with anything in life as far as businesses or anything. I mean, it's going to take some time. There isn't, you know, nowadays people want instant results. So that just doesn't happen anymore. And people, you know, unfortunately, then the media, you know, takes it that way too sometimes. So, but yeah, you know, teams got to get younger sometimes. And, you know, it's going to take a year or two to get back to where they need to. And especially if it's a program that everyone is used to winning all the time. You know, it's something people don't like change. So,
yes.
You know, especially in the sports world, if their team isn't winning, they want answers and they want results fast.
Yeah, yes, they do. And that's the thing I wonder, you know, do we ever really, I mean, we always say they've got to move it and stay, they've got to make some changes. But, you know, when you look at it, you don't see a lot of immediately winning teams winning after they start making changes. It takes time to adjust to those changes, the new personnel in, the old personnel out, how many of the old personnel do you keep? You know, there's a lot of questions in there that makes it very difficult when you're trying to make the team younger.
Yeah, and even if when you make those changes, it doesn't mean that they're going to mesh well together. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, we've seen certain relationships, boom, they just click. But then other ones, you know, they take a couple of years for whatever reason. Then one day they finally click. And, you know, sometimes that's how it is. And unfortunately, everyone wants it to instantly click. But, you know, that's just how it is. And, you know, that's never going to change. But I think that's also kind of what keeps it interesting is, you know, these changes do happen. And it keeps people on their feet and toes and, you know, makes them interested in the sport. Because I guess if, you know, a team was always losing, which we, you know, I guess the Detroit Lions are an example, but not anymore. But, you know, people aren't interested. But if a team on the opposite end, if a team is always winning and they suddenly stop losing, then, you know, there's also people get angry. So, you know, that's just the way the world of sports works. But, you know, it makes it interesting.
Yeah, it does. That's always a challenge. Like tomorrow, we're going to talk with Jack Ebling on the program tomorrow because he's written a book out about some of the history of the Detroit Tigers. And he's going to go and he's going to just talk about some of the history of the Tigers, who've had a lot of good teams. They haven't been a dominant team, of course. I don't know other than the Yankees and then occasionally Boston. But, you know, they've had some good years from time to time in their history, you know. So we'll talk about that with him and just looking at how good of a baseball game team would you say the Tigers are, considering they're in playing basically against the Yankees and other teams like that, you know. So I don't know how you would factor them. How would you consider? Because Baltimore's been good from time to time. Boston's been good from time to time. Everybody has, you know, you look at the individual players. Most teams have had a few individual players that are special players. Maybe they didn't get to the Yankees, but they certainly have had some special teams that have done very, very well.
Yeah, the Tigers have, I think they have a lot of history. And, I wouldn't put them at the top three or anything as far as the greatest teams of all time, but I would definitely put them in the top 10 though. I mean, they got a lot of history and a lot of pride there. So they're a great team as far as history is concerned.
Oh, that's for sure. And then, of course, you mentioned earlier about the Detroit Red Wings. They've been a great team. They've been one of the dynasty. They've been like the Yankees in hockey. The Red Wings have been outstanding. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock. Right here on WKAR East Lansing. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons, call us up, and talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.